welcome to another exciting episode of Matt and Eat, Matt and May. Today we'll be discussing sort of, we did a talk TV before, Matt and Eat Talk TV. I think it wasn't that successful though, because I don't think Arissa ever watched You're the Worst.
I didn't.
Still a great show.
Yep.
And I tried to watch Enter the Badlands, but I did not care for it. So.
Yeah. So I feel like that doesn't necessarily mean it didn't work. It just means that we did not convince each other to watch each other's shows, right? But maybe
I mean, I tried watching your show and I did not enjoy it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You're not even giving my show a chance, Arissa.
I watched the first episode. It was a little too much. Like, I feel like I need to be in a certain headspace to watch You're the Worst. And I don't think I've ever gotten into that headspace. Do you know what
I mean? Headspace, just being a person that enjoys comedy. You know,
and is like...
And good writing and solid editing.
Down with, like, sadness all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Deal with sadness in your life, you know.
Yeah. I tend to... Yeah, anyway.
So we're going to do something a little different for this time. We're going to sort of do our summer review / fall preview for TV coming up.
Yes. Yeah, I guess... So let's start with the summer review.
Okay. Yeah, I guess so. We'll define summer review as TV shows that... a significant part of their season has already occurred before when we're recording this, which is the end of September.
Yeah.
So,
should we, yeah, I guess, what do you want to start with?
Well, I'd say, so, you know, the biggest show, I think, that I watched that Arissa did not watch was Game of Thrones season 7.
True.
This is a more controversial season, I think, of Game of Thrones.
Why? Because they slept with each other and they were related? That's been happening the whole time!
No, in terms of quality.
Oh, okay, explain.
I mean, yeah, so if you've watched the season or, like, you know, followed any type of media about the season, you know that, like, you know, it was a bit more uneven. Particularly, one of the things that's really appealing about Game of Thrones is sort of its unexpected nature. Meaning that, you know, you never know which characters might die or which characters are going to live. And characters tend to be punished by this as a result of their actions. And in this season, you know, because you're finishing up, you want some of these characters, you want the story as a whole to be rewarding. It sort of felt like, you know, that aspect of the show was toned down. Additionally, one of the real strengths of Game of Thrones has sort of been these characters walking and traveling long distances and sort of having witty conversations and sort of building themselves as characters and evolving. And there's a lot of fast travel in this season, meaning that when people had to go long distances, they would basically skip over the travel, which was not, I mean, like, you know, you might think is good, but as I said, like, you know, you sort of miss these character building moments, which I think was the real strength of Game of Thrones. On top of that, like, the realism of some of the, like, you know, the timing of some of the travel just seems really off. But if you can ignore that, I think this season definitely had highlights. And I think as a whole, you know, it's not the best season of Game of Thrones, but I still found it to be fairly enjoyable television.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, I think it definitely... So, yeah, I don't watch the show anymore, but I think... This season, hearing about this season has made me want to jump back into it, so...
You get a lot of the big payoffs that you've been sort of waiting a while for, but at the same time, I think this is uneven, and it's not like the highs are really much higher than previous season stuff.
Okay.
You can sort of tell that they want to end the show.
Yeah.
So.
That's kind of sad.
Well, I mean, it is based on the book, so, like, you know.
I know.
There's always been this end in mind, but, like, the reason that they had it feels like they have shorter, this season was, I think, 7 episodes instead of 10 episodes, and it feels to me, you know, that they did did that because, I mean, there's arguments for they wanted to have a higher budget for the 7 episodes, but it felt like to me that they didn't want to shoot 10 episodes.
Yeah.
They wanted to shoot 7 episodes.
So. It's like being at a party and it's like winding down and you're like, we should just go. That's what it's like. Do you think it's like that?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. And I would say the other, so another show that's like, I mean, there's a couple of other big shows. So is there a show that you want to talk about that you saw in the summer?
Well, there's a show that I watched that you definitely haven't watched. But, like, it's definitely also not on the same caliber of popularity as Game of Thrones. But a show that kept popping up in my Facebook feed was The Bold Type, which is on Freeform, which used to be ABC Family. Okay. You guys, don't judge me. I know, you're judging me. And
well,
you know,
no,
actually,
I'm just more surprised than anything else that ABC Family changed its name to Freeform.
Yeah, I think they wanted to drop the whole family thing and go after more riskier content, which they definitely do.
Now I'm judging you specifically.
It's fine. Like I said, judge away. I'm not ashamed. I grew up watching, was it on? Oh no, it was actually the CW. Things like Gossip Girl and like 90210, the reboot, which is really bad. Anyway, trash TV. This is not that. No, I never watched Pretty Little Liars, but The Bold Type is not that, which I think felt refreshing. I mean, it definitely is in a same vein as those shows, but for me, I felt like it did certain things a little bit more refreshing and new. The premise of the show, since I'm sure most people have not heard of it, or maybe you have and that's great, is like these three, emerging adults, so like early to like mid-20s, are working for a media publication called Scarlet, which is kind of, you can tell they're basing off of like Teen Vogue maybe, or Elle, you know, and one's a writer, one's a social media director, and one's an assistant that wants to work in the fashion department. And I mean, obviously the show is unrealistic in that, like, one of the social media director, like, you're like 25 and you're a director of social media, like, what is that, real? I don't know. They definitely have like way more responsibility, and the work environment seems much more like friendly and like possible than I think the actual work environment is, which seems unrealistic. But besides that, they do some things that I think are really creative and interesting. Like they have,
like what?
Yeah. So like one episode is about, the writer gets pitched a story by the editor in chief. That's like, who's this like, you know, strong woman who they all aspire to be.
I assume all three of them are women.
Yeah, all three of them are women. Although there are men in the show, obviously. They're partners and whatever. But one of the episodes is about the writer gets pitched a show that is... I'm sorry, the writer gets pitched a story about like young women and breast cancer, so like the BRCA gene, right? And the whole idea of getting tested and stuff like that. And it's an emotional thing for her because her mom died of breast cancer at like 38 or something, very young. And so she's afraid that she has it and she's not sure if she wants to get tested. And I feel like that's a narrative that I have not seen. And as someone who like has a history of breast cancer in her family, it made me think about like, oh yeah, like, this is something that I should probably be more aware about. And it kind of, so they were, that was her story. And then the social media director was busy doing hashtags like, you know, awareness week and like save our women and stuff like that. And it was kind of like contrasting each other because the writer who didn't want to get tested was like, it's very scary. And seeing all this awareness stuff just makes me more afraid. So I felt like it was a nuanced view that I've never seen before. I think some of the things in the show obviously fall into tropes, but that was an example of like interesting and relevant and spoke to me. Also, queer character from Iran starts dating the social media director, and their whole arc is very, what? Their whole arc is very interesting and frustrating at times, but also very cute. So I would say, like, if definitely not for everybody, but like, if it sounds like, oh, I might like this, you probably will like it.
Okay, that sounds like it's better than expected coming from updated ABC Family. Cool. I guess another show that sort of felt like it occupied a niche for a while was Glow on Netflix. Did you ever catch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What did you think of it?
At first I was like, I don't know about this, but I very quickly was super down for the ride. You can crank out that show in like literally a day, very easily.
It's like, I think I want to say 10 episodes of 10 half hour episodes maybe. So it is a pretty fast watch.
Did you watch it?
So I started watching it and I wasn't sure about it, and then my friends kept on telling me how good it was, and I finished it. And I thought it was pretty decent. I was kind of worried it was going to go the route of Orange is the New Black, which I kind of dislike. I mean, I watched 3 seasons of it, but I feel like it does a bad job of trying to establish every character. Like, it's okay to have the occasional foil character, or like, I guess I would rather have a couple characters delved in dev like where you would delve into more detail with and try to have every character have this very sympathetic backstory. So that kind of started to annoy me about Orange is the New Black, and it sort of felt like Glow was sort of going a similar way, but it turned out to be, I think a pretty interesting show at the end. I mean, there's still some just like, I think, weirdness about like practicality stuff that bothered me a little bit. There's this character who identifies as being a wolf,
Yeah, that was weird.
and then the thing is, like, she kind of takes it personally when people, like, think of her that, like, think of her as being really weird, which is understandable. But then why would you enter this female wrestling league? Like, her motivation for being there didn't really make sense to me. Or there's this this is a there so there's this character who joins the wrestling league, and is a moderately influential character, but basically drops out before, like, the first mat before the like first big deal thing, and it seems to not matter, which is just weird to me. But I think, like, this show's got a very strong performance from Marc Maron. I was very glad to see him in this role.
And by Alison Brie.
Alison Brie is good too.
I really actually think the whole ensemble was
Yeah, I think as a whole it's quite
totally,
good. I was really excited to see Marc Maron though, having listened to him on WTF, but not seeing him in much else.
Well, he has his own show, you know.
I don't watch it though. And
Neither do I.
I'm
It's
not sure.
fine.
Yeah, I'm not the only one who doesn't watch it.
Cool.
Another big show that I've been watching, I guess big being a relative term, it's very popular in the circles that I run in, but I'm not convinced it's like, has necessarily widespread appeal, is Rick and Morty.
I
That's
think
been in
it
its day. And
does.
it is
I
like,
think it's grown this season. This premiere, I feel like a lot of people started watching.
I mean, I think it's certainly a lot of people our age and a lot of people, who do STEM stuff. I'm not sold that it. I mean, it's getting good ratings. I'm not entirely convinced that it has totally captured the cultural. At least I don't think it's captured the cultural zeitgeist in the same way it's sort of captured like my local sphere. But new season. It's been pretty interesting, I would say. Have you watched it, Arisa?
No, I haven't. But it's one I want to watch, just haven't gotten around to.
I
I
mean,
know
you have
Pickle Rick, I guess that's a thing now.
That was an episode. I saw someone with a Pickle Rick tattoo, like, at Riot Fest.
Holy moly, that was fast.
Yeah. For the listener, like, Pickle Rick is a episode where Rick turns himself, the scientist character in Rick and Morty, turns himself into a pickle. And that episode premiered maybe, like, 2 months ago. Or the episode, let me put it in case it takes me a while to upload these episodes. That episode premiered, like, in August, and in mid-September, people already had tattoos of it, which just seems, like, crazy to me.
Diehards.
I guess that sort of emphasizes that it is in the culture zeitgeist to some degree, at least.
Definitely. I met a guy with a Daria and Jane tattoo, and I was like, you're the coolest person I've ever met. So, I feel like Pickle Rick is, like, you know, Rick and Morty, I guess, you could see as kind of cult. Ish, because it's not like everybody knows about it, but I think the people that do know about it are like, this is awesome.
I mean, it's a very well written show that sort of like doesn't it's sort of a combination of sort of Adult Swim sort of nihilism as well as, you know, profanity, where it sort of prides itself on being punk rock and that it's like, you know, very bizarre. But it also is written by Dan Harmon, amongst other people. But I think sort of Dan Harmon sort of brings this, like, you know, very strong and traditional writing to it. So it's just, like, surprisingly very, very good in terms of considering its subject matter and sort of some of the, like, you know, like, just bizarre places it goes. But yeah, I mean, it's so I'd say this season, compared to earlier seasons, it's a little bit more heady. In terms of, it tries a lot of very high concept things. And I think it works for the most part. I think it's been a pretty good season. I wouldn't say it's significantly better or worse than the other seasons, just a little bit different.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that this season they're being more high concept, because in my mind, they've always been very high concept. It's never felt, it's always felt highbrow.
It's not dumb. It's not, yeah, I mean, exactly. It has a lot of very phallic or, or the opposite for phallic is, imagery in it.
Vaginal?
Vaginal, yeah, but I wanted to use a word that made me sound smart.
Okay.
It's got a lot of imagery like that in it, or like, you know, plenty of testicle monsters, but at the same time, yeah, it's sort of high concept and, you know, existential and very, yeah. Very, like, you know, deconstructive, and I don't know, it's, there's, you know, there are things like it, but that just aren't on the same quality of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it has always been high concept to some degree, but I feel like a lot of the jokes in season three are less, like, you know, weird one-offs and more just, like, these very high, like, very, like, high-level things in terms of jokes that sort of are more commentaries on things. Well, I just would say it's jokes are always.
Yeah. Speaking of kind of also more kind of high concept, BoJack Horseman. We were talking about this the other day. I feel like that this season, I think they like hit their stride in terms of like being able, I don't know. It felt like
this was the show by far the best season of BoJack Horseman.
Yeah.
And BoJack Horseman is a show, did I convince you to watch? I think you watched it on your own, but I told you to watch it beforehand.
I can't remember, but anyway, maybe.
It's a show that I've, you know, I've long been in support of, but it's definitely sort of had a season, this past season has definitely been just on another level for them.
So why do you think that is? I guess talk about a bit about the show for people who haven't heard of it.
So the vanilla premise of the show.
What?
The vanilla premise, like, you know, at the surface level, the premise of the show is basically you have the star that was on a Full House type sitcom in the 90s, named BoJack Horseman. They live in a world where there's a combination of humans and animals, but all the animals are basically humans. And that's actually a lot of sight gags. For example, they'll have, like, you know, Quentin Tarantulino, and Quentin Tarantino is a tarantula.
Yeah.
Basically, you have this world, and you have this washed, you have this 90 star, and he's kind of washed up, hasn't really done much since, and he's now, like, you know, he's sort of getting back to doing things. The first season was about him writing a book. The second season was about him starring in this movie that he's always wanted to make. The third season was about him trying to win a Academy Award for that movie, for his role in that movie. Mm-hmm. And the fourth season, I guess, was sort of more about, I guess this is minor spoilers, but this person comes who claims to be his daughter, and they're trying to find her mother.
Yeah. And that's his arc. And the show, I mean, has since kind of opened up in terms of, I think, really balancing his storylines with, like, Mr. Peanut Butter, who, like, used to be kind of his rival because he was also in a Full House type show, and he's like a dog that's like very, everybody likes him.
Yeah, his show is very much a ripoff of BoJack Horseman's show.
Yeah.
You have Mr. Peanut Butter, who's excellently played by Paul F. Tompkins, and he's sort of like this upbeat character. You have Todd, who's played by Aaron Paul, who's sort of BoJack. He starts out as sort of BoJack's quote-unquote roommate, basically this young guy who's unemployed, who just sleeps on BoJack's couch.
Yeah.
You have Diane, who's played by Alison Brie, and she's married to Mr. Peanut Butter. She gets married in the first season to Mr. Peanut Butter.
Spoiler alert. After the fact.
It happened a while ago.
Yeah, yeah. A few seasons ago. And it doesn't ruin it, really. I mean, there's like four seasons.
They're always dating. You find out they're dating in the first episode, and then, you know, they get engaged and they get married and stuff.
Yeah.
But
Princess Caroline. Oh, continue.
So her role is sort of, she wrote, the first season, BoJack sort of writes this book. She was the ghostwriter for that book, and sort of she becomes friends with BoJack, and she's kind of like, you know, a hipstery character.
Mm-hmm.
Millennial. And then, yeah. Then you have Princess Caroline, who's BoJack's agent slash, you know, former romantic interest.
At the beginning of the show,
she's a romantic interest, but they sort of had like a on-again, off-again relationship that was clearly pretty unhealthy for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But she still sort of hangs around as his agent and that type of stuff. And are there other? Did I miss anyone?
No. Yeah, and then I mean, obviously, those are the main. That's the main cast of characters, and then, you know, other people come and go for certain seasons. And I think what I liked about this season the most was that.
Did you finish the season?
I did, yeah, I just finished it this morning, and I felt like they didn't, like, BoJack's kind of, like, existential crises, or continual existential crisis, is sort of, like, the running motivation of the show.
Yeah, yeah, so on a higher, like, you know, as I said, it's sort of about this guy, but it's also kind of about, like, you know, trying to find meaning, especially in Hollywood, like, it does a lot of commentaries on, like, you know, Hollywood media culture, or Hollywoo, as it's called in the show. As if you watch the first season, you'll see that too. But it sort of talks a lot about superficial culture, and, you know, sort of living with regrettable things that you've done, and sort of, you know, yeah, like sort of trying to find meaning in life, trying to find meaning and happiness in life.
Yeah. And I think that in this season, like, BoJack doesn't find it necessarily concretely, but he definitely, I think more so than ever, he feels like he's on the right track now. Which, when you have three seasons of a character, like, constantly kind of fucking up, it can get really, nihilistic, and you're sort of like, I mean, I guess if you like that sort of thing, like maybe like you're the worst. I don't know, because I haven't seen that show. Then it works for you, but I don't know. I liked that in this season. It felt like we started going someplace and like making strides. And that doesn't mean that all the drama is lost. Like, on the contrary, I think that it like makes the drama better, because it's like we have the highs balancing the lows in a more fair way.
So something that, you know, I think is done very well in You're the Worst, but is sort of, you know, done to a lesser extent in BoJack Horseman, is you have these characters who do things that they, that, like, you know, are not good things, but they regret doing them. Like, you know, these characters want to be good people, and they show remorse when something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a consequence for bad things happening. Also, like, the show doesn't, when characters do things that are questionable, like, the show doesn't try to make you forgive them. Like, often it shows why they made those decisions, mm-hmm. and those decisions, you know, being contextualized, are less, you know, they seem like less terrible things, but the show is not trying to, you know, say, oh, this thing is okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it's still, you know, very much questionable about it. And I think that was sort of done the best this season, where you have one of the episodes is a flashback episode about sort of BoJack Horseman's mom's life. And you sort of realize, I mean, it's pretty clear throughout the show that BoJack Horseman's mom was, like, you know, terrible to him and, you know, constantly criticized him and is probably responsible for a lot of the issues that BoJack has now. And it sort of explains why she sort of did those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it portrays her in a fairly sympathetic light. But at the same time, it's not apologizing for her having done those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to say, oh, it's okay that she, you know, was basically constantly critical of BoJack and, you know, blamed him for, you know, the way her life turned out. Like,
yep. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, so it's a fantastic, I mean, so I'd say as a whole, the show is very good, but this season in particular, you have a lot of, you know, contextualization of some of, like, the problems people have, and you have a lot of growth, and it's a very, I think it's a very, like I said, it's the best season of BoJack Horseman so far, which has always been, I think, a pretty strong show in my eyes.
Yeah, agreed. I think they also do some creative things, like you said, with the flashback episode. I mean, like, that episode is told through, like, the lens of the fact that she has, like, dementia or Alzheimer's, which I think is, like, really radical, you know? Again, like, a conversation.
The faces are, like, blurred out.
Yeah.
Of, like, characters she doesn't really remember, and, yeah.
And the way that scenes jump around in a and connect past and present, I think that that's, again, like with what I was talking about with the bold type, like, a lot of people experience certain things in life but don't ever see those things
portrayed on TV,
and I think that I like shows that do that, so yeah.
I would say also, I mean, all, most of these shows we're talking about, they're not afraid to take risks.
Yeah.
And sort of, there are just episodes of BoJack Horseman that, you know, are ambitious.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely.
Are there any other shows you want to talk about that happened over the summer?
I would just say, you know, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, but we could also just wait for that to be real life, so, yeah.
I haven't watched The Handmaid's Tale yet, actually.
I stopped after episode 4 because I was like, I'm just going to wait for this to be real life. But I'll probably go back and visit it because it racked up a lot of Emmys. Rightfully so, because I really do think it was... the 4 episodes I watched were amazing. It just got really heavy and I had to take a break.
It's like an hour drama, I want to say.
It's an hour drama. It's based off of Handmaid's Tale, which I have read and is an excellent book. But it's just... excellently acted. I think I mentioned it in our last one, so I won't go into it now.
It's way harder, I think, to watch hour dramas than half-hour comedies.
Yeah, for sure. And to to try and binge it, it's like I'm gonna die. So
Certainly on my list of things I need to watch, though.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, what are
Okay.
you looking forward to coming up in the fall?
Yeah, so as previously mentioned, I'm a queer woman. I'm not a woman. I'm not multiple people. But like, so I really like oh, another show, sorry. Real quick plug for Wynonna Earp. I think I mentioned it before, but that was like season 2 I think was better than season 1
Of
and season
what?
2 Wynonna Earp. It's on Sci-Fi.
I have never heard of that before.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll save it for our next Matinee Talk TV. But if you're curious, Wynonna Earp, based off of a comic on Sci-Fi, season 1 on Netflix, season 2 will be on Netflix probably within a couple months.
What's the pitch of that show?
The pitch is, it's based off of a comic, which is based off of, the Wyatt Earp, killed a bunch of people, right? He was a
Sure,
marshal.
I don't know.
He was a U.S. Marshal, and so he killed people. And the premise of the comic and thus the TV show is that his it's like somebody put a curse on his family such that all the people that he killed come back once his Earp, the Wyatt Earp heir, dies. Like they come back from hell and they have to be killed by the new heir. So Wynonna Earp is the heir. She's able to wield Wyatt Earp's gun and kill these revenants, which are like these, people that have come back from
Leo,
hell.
Leonardo DiCaprio's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but yeah, and in, I mean, a lot happens in the first season and in the second season that I don't really want to go into, but I would just say, like, if you like that kind of like sci-fi fan, it's more like, obviously fantasy kind of horror aspects because they're scary monsters at times. And you also like a funny cast of characters. Wynonna Earp is kind of like a lovable fuck up, like she gets drunk a lot and like, this is like this responsibility that's been put on her of killing the revenants. Is like her, journey, right? But she has a sister who is, yeah. Anyway, but basically, I would say check it out. It's thoroughly entertaining. It's fun. It doesn't go too serious, but it goes serious enough that you feel like you can be invested, Yeah. Okay. So, what are you looking
I
forward to?
guess so. Speaking of like comic adaptations, I was looking at premiere schedule, and I think Runaways is coming up in November. An adaptation of Runaways is coming to Hulu on in November,
Okay,
which
so
I'm.
what is that?
So Runaways is a comic. I guess it was not a short comic, but it's an ongoing comic where basically the premise is there's these people who are living on the West Coast. And it turns out that one day they figure out that their parents are supervillains, so they sort of run away and try to find a way to make things right. But on top of that, there's someone in their like I guess in the first arc, which I think is going to be the one that's represented on TV, there's someone who is like helping their parents out. So there's like a spot like you know there's a inside agent in there. And it was, you know, very interesting and compelling.
Okay, yeah, I have heard of this.
I think I was the one who told you about Runaways.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think it's. I'm interested to see where it goes. I really enjoyed reading the comics.
Okay. Cool. In a similar vein, not a Marvel show, but a DC show. Supergirl, you guys, come on. I'm a feminist, queer feminist woman. Of course, I'm gonna like Supergirl, the show, which has strong feminist themes and also queer women in it. It's fun. I think it's fun. It's like not like I don't know. It's not like one that I'm like, oh my God, every single person has to watch this show, but it's definitely, yeah, I don't know. It's fun.
Another kind of another show that's kind of networky that is going to be back that I'm excited for is Black-ish.
For some reason, I have not yet watched this show, but I feel like I really need to.
It's good. I mean, it's a network comedy, so it's kind of in a sense limited by that. But I thought in a lot of ways it's been pretty original. I don't know, it's a funny show, it's a network comedy. You feel good for the characters in it. It's enjoyable. Would recommend.
I think, also speaking of comedy, Broad City on Comedy Central, this is their season 4. I think it's already started, actually, but I didn't realize it, so I haven't watched any episodes yet. But I'm curious how they're gonna deal with. I heard that they're gonna bleep Trump's name, like, as if it were a swear word, which I think is really cool. But I also am just curious how they're gonna balance, like, the comedy aspect of obviously the show, but also the whole like, well, we can't just like not address all of these horrible things that are happening to marginalized communities. So I'm kind of curious how they're going to balance that. Certainly, like, some shows do better than others, and I'm, yeah, just curious how it's going to play out.
As previously mentioned, You're the Worst has come back for its fourth season. Potentially its last, because it's never gotten really great ratings. Great critical reviews, but not great ratings. So, and they've sort of changed. I think the marketing for the season seemed to be a bit more aggressive, which feels a bit more desperate to me. So, we'll see if it lasts. But yeah, it's a fantastic show, and this season has been shaping up to be pretty good, so I'm watching it, and we'll see how it continues to go.
Jane the Virgin, season 4 on the CW. I just think it's, again, it's like really fun, and also they do, I think this is one of the shows where they do deal with like aspects. I think in season 1 or season 2, they dealt with like Jane's grandmother who was undocumented getting a green card and like the fears of that. And last season there was like an abortion and discussing that openly and not tabooing it or criticizing it or stigmatizing it in any way. So, yeah, and like virginity, even like talking about virginity and losing virginity in like a very refreshing way. I feel like this show is one that I don't know. I think people will look back on and be like, this had like a big impact, even though it's not necessarily widely watched, but I would recommend. It's about Jane, and she was a virgin, but she got impregnated on accident at her when she was at her gynecologist's, so she had a baby while she was still a virgin. And then it's like, it's kind of overly dramatic in a soap opera way. Like they
It's like a riff
actively,
on the telenovela, is
yeah,
my
it's a riff
understanding.
off, yeah, it's a riff off a telenovela, and they like actively like adopt that kind of meta-ness in a really cool way. The soundtrack is cool. It's like a marching band. Check it out. Season 4, it's gonna be a big shakeup. So,
Star Trek is coming back.
oh my God, yeah. Tonight, I think.
That's when we're recording this episode, the premiere of Star Trek. I mean, I think there's a couple, like, the Orville looked somewhat intriguing to me. Because, I don't know. I don't know, it looked intriguing. I think there's a number of shows that, we'll sort of see how they go. And, based on how they go, maybe I'll watch them or not. There's Ken Burns' Vietnam War. So, am I right about that?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that.
I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. Yeah, that's sort of a special that's going on that I might watch after it airs, depending on how it gets reviewed. I mean, I have plenty of Ken's Burns that I probably should watch, but may or may not end up eventually watching it.
Yeah.
We'll sort of see. We'll sort of see.
So I'm gonna highlight two more shows coming out of Amazon, which actually are both already out because they do streaming all at once. One Mississippi and Transparent.
Not two Mississippi.
Yeah, not too much. That would be cool, but no, it's
Transparent, not two Mississippi.
one Mississippi season two and Transparent season four. Both of these shows, well, Transparent has gotten obviously a lot of acclaim, and I'm kind of I don't know, I haven't seen this season yet. I feel like season three like didn't do it for me as much as season one and season two, but like I'm still down for the ride, and certainly like interesting ideas and I think discussion points come up in the show throughout, so I'm curious kind of what comes about in season four. And then in One Mississippi, it's like based off of Tignataro, sort of based off of Tignataro's life, and how she like was recovering from her illness and went back to live in her hometown after her mother died and all this stuff. And the first season, I mean, nothing like drew me to it just as much as just Tig is like pretty funny, I think, and it's like a fun, chill show to watch when you want something fun that's not like throwing pies in people's faces. I don't know. That's how I would describe it. Not throwing pies in people's faces.
Okay. I want to do a. We're kind of going long, so do a quick couple more speed round ones, I would say. So, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is coming back. I think that'll be fun. Did you ever watch that show?
At the beginning, and then I fell out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's gone downhill a little bit, but I still enjoy it, so. It is one of the shows I will probably watch week to week. New South Park. They're no longer doing serialized seasons, so
Wait, what?
the for like the past two or three seasons, they've been serialized across the season, where there's sort of been one coherent, well, more or less coherent sort of overarching
Oh,
story.
sort of like Archer.
Yeah, sort of like Archer. But it's not like time period jumping. It's sort of just been like, themes explored. But that kind of fell apart last season because of the election. So I think maybe as a result of the fall, like the last season sort of fell apart. And I think partially as a result of that, they're gonna just sort of have a lot. They're gonna go back to the one-off episode theme. But yeah, I mean, it's South Park, I think. Considering it's been on for 20 some years, like it's been very consistent, much more so than The Simpsons, Shade Throne. So yeah, it's another show I will probably try to watch week to week. Other things, I think we should mention briefly something we didn't touch on, that because I don't think either of us have watched it, was the return of Twin Peaks.
Oh yeah. That's on my list, but it's not like knocking down the door, you know?
Did you ever finish the original Twin Peaks?
No, I still haven't, 'cause I'm sort
We
of like,
tried to
once you
watch it.
know.
So for the listener, we tried to watch it with a couple of our college friends in college. The problem was we started watching it, I think, like, 2 weeks before graduation, so we didn't finish it.
Yeah.
But
And once you learn who kills what's her name?
Laura
Laura
Palmer.
Palmer, it's sort of like, well, why am I still watching this? I don't know, 'cause that's like the whole question. And I know that that's not supposed to be the point. The point is like David Lynch creates this world and it's super weird and you just want to see all the weird things happening. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of just I
Yeah.
wanted, yeah, I don't know.
Bizarre shows that are starting up this year. I guess Young Sheldon. Oh, do you have any
God.
takes on that?
I have zero takes. Do not care at all.
Seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We will see.
As
Any
in
other weird
we will
shows?
see probably one season of it.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Maybe it could take off. Things take off, you know?
Marvel Inhumans. That's probably gonna be not good. Oh, I guess the Defenders what came out over the
Oh,
summer.
yeah.
Quick take on that. Meh.
I never even saw it, so.
Yeah,
And
it
I
was
never
fine.
will, probably,
Well,
to be honest.
did you watch Jessica Jones at least?
Yeah. And I want to watch Luke Cage.
Yeah. No, I mean Luke Cage is good. Like, it's probably worth it watching The Defenders if you've watched all of them. Iron Fist is terrible.
I've
And
heard,
The
yeah.
Defenders, I think, was somewhere in the middle of the quality of Marvel shows, but hey, the way it goes.
Yeah.
But the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was just sort of not a great show, and I think Inhumans will probably be worse. But we'll see. Other weird shows that I'm looking at as my Curb Your Enthusiasm comes back. I've not watched that, but I've heard very good things about it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I don't know. Will and Grace is getting revived.
Yeah, I have no takes on that either.
Did you ever watch Will and Grace back in the day?
No.
I think it was a
Is it
little bit
good?
before. No, I haven't watched it either. I don't know. I think it was like a little bit before our time.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Better Things is coming back from FX. I watched the first season of that. You might enjoy that actually.
What's it about?
It's about like this mother who's like a voice actress, and her she's raising her three daughters and dealing with her mom. It's okay. It wasn't really what I was expecting. It was a little bit more like of a subtle show than like, you know. It was fine. Yeah, I don't know. That's sort of what I've got.
As always, I'm excited for Shondaland, Grey's Anatomy, how to. I was just about to say How to Marry a Murderer, which is not a show. How to Get Away with Murder. She's gonna, I think, make some new shows for Netflix, which I'm excited about, but I'm not sure when those will actually come out.
Oh, Stranger
Definitely
Things
not this
comes
fall.
back. I'm excited about
Oh,
that.
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's just like a lot, and things will pop up too that it's like, oh. What is this? Like Facebook, there's a show on Facebook now, like on Facebook, called Strangers that I've started watching that I'm like, this is pretty good. Like I will keep watching this. It's a web series.
And you're one of the plots, and you're the worst, is Edgar starts writing for Doug Benson's show for Waze, which is one of like the traffic map apps. So.
Yeah, okay.
Right, cool.
Stop trying to get me to watch You're the Worst, Matt.
Oh, I'm not. I'm just saying that it was a funny commentary on how
I'm kidding.
I'm trying to get everyone to watch You're the Worst,
I
but
know. That's fine.
it
That's
needs,
fine.
like I said, I don't know if it's going to make it past this season. So,
And you want people to watch it to make it past the season. I get it.
yeah, I want to watch a season 5 of You're the Worst.
Okay. That's valid. That's valid. Sweet. Sweet. Anything else?
No, that's sort of what I got.
Listeners, tell us what you're excited for. Add a comment. You're supposed to
Where are
say
they going to
things
add
like that,
where do
Matt.
they add comments? That's my question.
Write a review and say, I'm excited for blah, blah, blah.
Write reviews, yeah. Arissa is getting too much into the radio game and too much into trying to get, you know,
Also,
other
buy
people's
me
approval.
undies. Yeah, no, I'm
Other people's
kidding.
approval. You know, yeah. I make
No, no,
podcasts
no,
for
no.
the
No,
only
no, no,
good
no.
reasons, and Getting
No, no,
Rich
no,
is
no.
one of those.
No, 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 no. No, no, no. I'm not trying to get acknowledgments or anything. I literally feel like everything is more enjoyable when you're in discussion with people. Like, I obviously would not just have a podcast just me talking. You also wouldn't either. It's more fun that we talk to each other. Well, I think it'd also be more fun if our listeners, like, told us what they think or what
Yeah.
they like. You know what I mean? So we could, like, incorporate some of that. Like,
Okay, leave us a review, or you could probably reach out to us on Facebook.
yeah.
Arissa's name is pretty distinct.
Great. So I'm gonna have like a million message requests being like,
If we
"Shut
got
the
a, if we have
fuck
a million
up."
if we have a million listeners to this podcast, I would be very excited. I was telling we were talking to someone this they were asking, "Oh, what are like, you know, can I find you on Facebook?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, my name is, you know," I told them my name and I'm like, "But like that's actually a pretty common name just because Matthew is such a common name." And you know, Kirshner is a
pretty common name.
It's not really common.
It's not Smith, but
it's
not
like,
Opentaku.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like common enough. It's like kind of uncommon, but like common enough. And Matthew is just so common that it's actually like my name is not that uncommon.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Sweet.
And we'll catch you listeners in 2 weeks.
Sweet, sweet. Matinee, matinee.
I'm panicking. I didn't think of something a clever response to that. Let's start over. Matinee, matinee.
Fuck you. Fuck yay.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay. So do it again.
Okay. Matinee, matinee.
Have a pleasant day.
Hooray!
Bye-bye.